Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so excited to be back. A huge shout-out and thank you to Deidre for covering the call the past 2 weeks while I was away in Los Angeles. And I just wanted to share that you can probably hear in my voice, I shared before we started recording, that we've uprooted the ego. In our decision to turn to Holy Spirit, we have uprooted the ego, and it looks for landing places. It looks for places where it can try to hang on. And with this whole retreat experience that I went on, the ego did not have any anxiety to grab onto. It didn't have any airplane anxiety or any speaking anxiety or any anxiety at all. And apparently, though, when I got home, the day that I got home, I gave it a home in my nose. So I have a little bit of a smidgen of a really mild cold. I feel fine, but I'm just stuffy, so I apologize for how I sound. Let's go ahead and start with a meditation. And then I just love to share a little bit about my experience on the retreat because it was quite miraculous for me. So let's begin. Coming to a comfortable position and allowing the eyes to close. And bringing our attention to our willingness. This tiny willingness that we all have, which is really big willingness, because we want to wake up. We want to know truth. Above all else, we want to see differently. So connecting with this willingness and offering this willingness to our inner teacher. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and this place. It feels so good to be here with all of you. I felt moved just to begin our call with just sharing a little bit about my experience at the Happy Dream Retreat, which just happened in Los Angeles. We will be doing it again at some point, somewhere in the world. We don't know where, but it will happen again. And it was quite a miraculous experience for me on so many different levels, and probably way in more ways than I can possibly articulate. I feel like I could take the whole hour just talking about it, but I'll share a few highlights that were really, really profound for me. I had previously shared with you all, maybe 2 weeks ago, actually, 3 weeks ago I was here. It does feel like a while. Deidre covered the call for 2 Sundays. I shared with you all just about my shifts around flying and the fact that I went on this trip without my husband on a plane by myself and had not even a molecule of nerves. I mean, I could say this so authentically and so honestly, that to be in a space of just totally resting in trust and knowing that I'm in danger nowhere in the world. That's one of those course lessons from the workbook. I am in danger nowhere in the world. This awareness is what we open up to as we turn to Holy Spirit, as we open up to miracles and experience those miracles. We allow our perception to expand, to come to touch, even in glimpses, of the truth of who we are and the fact that we are in danger nowhere. So my flight home was not smooth. The flight there to LA was pretty smooth. Flight home was not. I actually took a selfie. I'll have to post it at some point. I haven't shared it yet. I'm feeling completely calm, even though the plane was, you know, quite bumpy. And I flew also from LA to Oakland, the San Francisco Bay Area, after the retreat to go meet my publisher, my agent, which is a whole other story. And I just really wanted to drive this home that for me, somebody who's had lifelong anxiety issues and also those anxiety issues being attached to flying, I used to, like, write a will, like, my last will and testament every time I got on a plane. Like, I'd write love notes to everybody. And goodbye. Like, it was a big deal. And the fact that I, this whole trip, did not have a smidge of nerves, no anxiety, is just so profound for me. So that's sort of my takeaway number one, is just that the Course is leading us to inner freedom. It's leading us to complete freedom from fear, from feeling small, from feeling bound, you know, by the quote-unquote laws that the ego has set up for us, in thinking, you know, that we need to make ourselves safe or that we need to provide for ourselves. That's just the ego talking. And the Course is leading us to this knowing that everything we need is provided, that we are perfectly safe, and that nothing can harm us. So that's my first takeaway. And I'm just sharing. So if anybody wants to jump in and if you have a question or something strikes you, please feel free to jump in. The second thing that I just wanted to share is that although I've done a lot of speaking online, as many of you know. I mean, there's this call, there's my video blogs, there's the Miracle Share conferences, I've been interviewed. But in terms of in-person events for the course, I think this is only my second one, actually my third. And I have noticed the growth in myself, first with teaching at the college level, where I would deal with my teaching, my speaking anxiety by over-preparing. I'd be so prepared, I'd, you know how to answer any single question that could possibly arise. I'd over-prepare. I've grown through that to just, again, be able to trust that the words are going to be there, and if I don't have the answer, I'll figure it out. Then that same sort of growth happened with teaching mindfulness. I would prepare my meditations for Bank of America ahead of time and, you know, kind of take it from there. And I've grown through that to where I just speak from the heart. The meditations that I do at Bank of America and the ones on this call just come through me. I just step out of the way and they come. And I've seen that growth now in myself with talking about the course, because I can remember one of the very first study groups that we did, being so nervous and being like, oh my gosh, Corinne has to say something, and learning, you know, growing through that this is just about me stepping out of the way. That's it. So this shedding of the lowercase s self, the shedding of Carol, of Greg, of Alicia, of Hamira, of everybody on this call, as we release these small identities and these stories that come along with these small identities, as we release this, we open to this absolute magnitude of what it is that we truly are. We let that love, we let God pour through us, and it feels so, so amazing, so good. So in this retreat, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to step out of the way and let Corinne get out of the way to let Spirit speak through me. And I felt like I did a good job of that, of really stepping to the side and just letting Spirit speak through me. But I had an experience at the end of the retreat that I wanted to share with you all. I haven't shared this with very many people. I shared it with my mom and my husband and my sister, and I think that's it. But I feel like you all will appreciate this. And especially, Deidre, you came to mind so many times because of how you talk about angels. The Course mentions angels a couple of times. I actually have been meaning to look up those references, but angels have not been something that I've really felt a connection with, because my connection, I've always just identified with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with being comfortable, you know, with that. And not that I didn't think the angels didn't exist, but I didn't have any, I didn't have any connection. There was no, like, it was just words, really, to me, and also feeling, you know, respectful and pleased that other folks feel connections with angels. But after this retreat was my first real experience, and I might start crying, and if I do, my voice is really going to sound horrible, so I'm going to try not to, but... At the end of the retreat, Greg's going to remember this. So there's a chapel at the retreat center, and the whole side of this chapel, this gorgeous chapel, opened up into the garden. And at the end of the retreat, we all went into the garden and held hands and just sort of swayed back and forth to this beautiful song that was playing. Afterwards, I spontaneously, quote-unquote, started talking to this woman who actually didn't attend the retreat. She only came to see Maria Felipe, because I believe they belong to the same, she belongs to Maria's church, the Unity Church. And she started spontaneously doing this reading on me, telling me about all these angels and saints that were with me. And here come the tears. one of them, the one that got me, like, straight in the heart was I think it was Gabriel or Gabrielle. She said that it could go by either, where it's an angel that helps with communication, with, you know, and the whole thing that I just said to you about wondering whether or not I'd be able to step out of the way came forward. And she asked if I had been seeing any lights. And twice during the retreat at night, I sort of had myself propped up on my elbow, like I was kind of turning over in bed. And so my right cheek was, like, up off the pillow, but facing, you know, the pillow. Out of the corner of my right eye on the pillow, it was as if somebody was shining a bright flashlight directly on my pillow. And I immediately turned my head and looked, and there was nothing there. And that happened the next night, too. And so her to have said all these things to me, and she said St. Francis of Assisi was with me, and she's like, animals, like, what's, and I was like, my chickens, and she was like, yes, and, you know, because I have such a dear connection to my chickens, so I'm sharing this with everybody. I felt moved to share this with everybody, because this was not a special message for me. This, to me, was a message for all of us, again, reinforcing this idea that we are not alone. I just read it. Let me see real quick if I can find it. Yep. In the reading, and this, again, just blows me away. We're not going to get to this tonight because this is just a couple pages away, but I read ahead of our reading tonight. This is talking about the infancy of salvation, the fact that we've accepted, you know, we've accepted our part in God's plan. We've accepted Holy Spirit in. And it says, your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God himself. It needs not your protection. It is yours. In other words, our purpose is our protection. For it is deathless, and within it lie the end of death. So there it is. Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God himself. My nose is going to be so stuffy. This message is for you, too. We're not alone. We are not alone. So my trip was miraculous, as you can tell. Getting to join with other people, getting to meet Greg, and just to spend that time together that we spent was just incredible. And afterwards, like I said, I went up to the San Francisco area. My agent, Patrick Miller, picked me up. He said, Corinne, I have a surprise for you. We're going to meet Judy Scutch. As I'm sure many of you know, Judy Scutch is one of the original four of the course. She's the only living person. She publishes. She made the book. You know, Helen and Bill had their role with writing it. Ken had his role with teaching and with editing. Judy got the book in print. She got it published. And so getting to meet her was just an absolute joy. She was so sweet. So that's my trip in a nutshell. I hope that was helpful, inspiring, because the gains, again, the recognition, anything that I took away from that is for all of us. It's for you, too. So that is that.
I recall this quote. It's Igor. I recall this quote from chapter 18, section 3. It says, if you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible.
Yeah. I love that quote, Igor. Thank you for bringing that up. That's perfect. There it is. There it is. We are not alone. Oh, anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah,
I just had a quick question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Are you sure? Okay,
sure.
Well, I'll chime in. Corinne, thank you for sharing what you shared. It is inspirational. And, you know, I hear your story, and there's such a desire and willingness to experience something other than this fear-based mind that I usually, you know, I'm kind of battling with. And you know, I don't know what is getting in my own way except I guess it's just that part of my mind, because I'm taking action. I'm doing the things that I think I should be doing in terms of reading and doing the lessons and inviting the Holy Spirit in to guide me. And I will have, you know, 3, 4, 5 days of just feeling really, really connected. And then out of nowhere, you know, they will come, and I'm just, it's almost like something blocks me, and no matter what I do, whether I read something, it's just this ball of anxiety that I can't even like point my finger and say, well, this happened. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I can say, well, this triggered me. But most of the time, it's not even something that is obvious, you know, that occurred that caused me to feel separated and alone. And like today was one of those days, you know, I've just out of nowhere just feel there's a lot of guilt, like I should be doing more. And I know that comes a lot from conditioning. You know, one of the ways that I was raised was like you have to study really hard, you have to be a good student, you have to do all the time. And so I recognize as part of my conditioning. But even when I like try to step away from that and just like quiet down, I try twice today, like 1 hour this morning, another time, you know, for about 45 minutes to sit quietly and to see if I could just feel the feelings, like nothing else, just face the feelings, face the emotions. And I couldn't get any solace. I couldn't get any peace. And I'm just wondering, being that you've dealt with anxiety, you share that you've had anxiety, and that's sort of what brought you to the course. If you could speak a little bit on that and maybe give me some guidance or any, you know, anything that you think I should or should be doing more of or less of, or, you know, I'm open.
Yeah. Oh, Homira, thank you for asking this question. And this might sound weird or surprising, but you're actually doing a really, really good job. What you just described with touching that anxiety that's kind of like free-floating, like it doesn't seem to be attached to anything. Like you said, nothing really happened. It just comes out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember what I started saying at the beginning of the call, where we've uprooted the ego. We've uprooted its roots in our mind. And it's looking for a landing place. It's looking for a place to land. And occasionally it just we just say, okay, because there's part of us that still wants the separation. There's part of me, I would not have gotten a cold in my nose if there's not part of me that still wants to be Corinne. If you can't tell, I let go a lot on this retreat. Corinne really stepped out of the way. And the part of me that loves being Corinne, she's stepping back in a little bit to convince me that I'm real, because now I have a stuffed up nose. So call it an ego little backlash. Again, I don't like thinking of it that way, because it sounds like something outside of ourselves, something that can get us, something that's scary. It's not. It's our own unwillingness to heal. It's our own, you know, wanting to keep the separation going that lets the ego come back in, which, again, isn't a thing. It's just an idea. The ego's not this, you know, foreign energy or anything like that. So that is what I wanted to say to what you said about it coming out of nowhere. that ball of anxiety that doesn't seem to be attached to anything, like how you said, it just, you know, nothing really happened. It just comes up.
Mm-hmm.
That to me sounds like you are touching on the unconscious fear and guilt that we all have in our minds. This is actually, it's funny that you're, that this is coming up, because I'm actually trying to do a little bit of editing on my manuscript to make this point clear, and it's really hard. Right now, we're listening to ego or spirit. We're aware that we have a choice. But behind this picture of the world, in our subconscious mind, is that part of our mind that looked away from God and is dreaming this dream. That part of our subconscious mind that's, like, you know, beyond our awareness is freaked out that God is going to be mad at it. It's terrified. That's where anxiety comes from. That's where fear comes from. It's not my small self. I mean, my small self can certainly generate the anxiety because that's the ego, but there's this almost this greater, more collective fear of our one sleeping, split mind that's dreaming this whole thing up. So it sounds to me like that anxiety that you're noticing coming up out of nowhere, you're touching on this unconscious fear that we all share, which is beautiful because it's coming up for you to look at it with Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. You're doing everything already. I don't think you have to do anything more except continue to just check in with your willingness, check in with your radical honesty with Holy Spirit, and just keep talking to Holy Spirit, because it comes up to the surface. This is actually, Homira, this is perfect. This is the part of my book that I'm trying to explain. This unconscious fear and guilt that the Course tells us that we have, it breaks to the surface from time to time, and I feel like that's what's happening with you right now. It's breaking to the surface for no apparent reason, but it's doing so because you're ready to look at it with Holy Spirit. It's another opportunity to heal it. So there's no need to feel guilty that the anxiousness is there. There's no need to even be upset by it, because when we're upset by it, we're just fueling the ego again. Instead, well, here it is. You know, I'm noticing it, I'm feeling it, and I'm willing to see this differently. I'm willing to turn to Spirit. And this is where, I know this is going to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound, but this is another thing. We talked about this on the call a few weeks ago. We all, and I don't remember what section it was, but it was saying that we don't have to worry or do anything, that this is all unfolding perfectly. So you're doing all already that you can do. You don't have to do anything else except continue to talk to Holy Spirit. And this is all, you know, it's all coming up to be healed in its own time. So I hope that's comforting for you. You're making a lot of progress. I've been there. I've been in your shoes of having that sort of unexplainable anxiety that just feels like it felt to me like an insurmountable wall. Like, here it is again. Mm-hmm. Why is this giant boulder showing up and I feel like I can't get past it? That giant wall is fog. It's just smoke. It just seems impenetrable. Your task, again, is just to notice that it seems to be there and to be willing to look at it with Spirit. So I'm joined with you. We're all joined together in this, in healing this belief in separation.
Hi, Corinne.
Thank you.
Hi, Deidre. Deidre, I want you to jump in. Homira, is that a little helpful?
Yes. Yes, it's very helpful, kind of helping me not to judge, sort of take the judgments that come in. And I think that's what paralyzes me. It's the emotions are one thing, but then there's an added layer of what's wrong with you, why aren't you getting this, you know, that really keeps me in the kind of paralysis. And then it's like, you know, I notice I'm really headed down, like a deep, dark down, you know, hole that I seem like I can't get out of. So I think it is the judgments rather than just going, okay, this is what we all are dealing with, and just sit with it. And I don't know, I mean, I guess I'm wondering, when will I experience some relief? Because sometimes it feels like even if I sit there for an hour, like I said, I sat down an hour this morning and then another 45 minutes, it didn't seem to decrease in an intensity. And I know my husband has a meditation practice that he does. He reads a lot of Dr. David Hawkins. And one of the practices he talks about in his book, Letting Go, Surrender, what he's trying to help me to do is, he says, you know, just watch the feelings. Just be, like, don't be scared of them. Just sit until you feel a decrease. And he's been doing that for, like, 3-4 years now, and he swears by it. But I tell you, Corinne, I sit there for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, and sometimes it just doesn't seem to decrease in intensity. It just doesn't.
Can I say something?
I'll share something. But first, Deidre, and then I think that was that Greg?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. First Deidre, then Greg.
Okay, I just wanted to piggyback sort of on what Corinne has already shared, based on what Humera is sharing, because I have God chill bumps right now. And the thing that has really been coming through for me recently from spirit, from our higher self, is the notion that it's possible not to be at peace is the fear voice's biggest defense against the truth. So I hope that is clear. What has been really helping me is exactly what you're doing, Humera, is sitting with the whatever feelings are present in your experience and not asking or looking for the feelings to be different, and just sitting with them and trusting wholly that I'm at peace right now, regardless of what my experience or the evidence of my experience appears to be showing me. So I'm not looking for anything outside of me to calm my experience or to change my experience. I'm just simply accepting that I am spirit. And I'm not asking for my peace to look like anything, because that is the fear voice's biggest defense against, oh, you're doing it wrong. You're doing something bad. You're guilty. You're not feeling the peace, so you're bad. You're wrong. There's something more that you need to do. So that awareness is stopping it right in its tracks. And then the peace, the stillness does come, but it's having, I guess, opening the awareness to not trying to make peace into anything, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Thank you so much, Deidre. It does. It makes a lot of sense. Because I feel like what you're saying is like, and it's true, I'm sitting there with the goal of so, like, wanting, almost like an attachment so bad to wanting this peace to come, that maybe by clutching to that idea so much that I'm not allowing it to come. And what you're saying, and if I heard you correctly, is maybe just being with whatever is showing up, but underneath that, trusting that I am at peace and this isn't real, and that just experience what you're experiencing. And then maybe through that, maybe there's going to be a shift, because maybe it's that clutching to the idea of I want peace so bad that's not allowing it to come.
Exactly. It's because we are at peace. There is nothing else. There is nothing but peace. That is the truth. The illusion is that there can be something other than peace. Peace is total and eternal. So any idea outside of that isn't the truth. And so we are undoing this together. We are undoing the idea that it's possible to be without peace, because nothing that is from love, from God, from Holy Spirit, from angels can create lack of peace. It's only the belief that we feed in the idea of that there can be some form of or lack of peace. So it's that belief that we're looking at together collectively as one consciousness, and we're undoing that belief. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Oh, that was beautiful, Deidre. I'll respond in just a minute, but I want to let, that was Greg. Greg, you were going to say something, right?
Yes, thank you so much.
Awesome.
I wanted to share as quick as I can a testimony from the Happy Dream Retreat, and I think it fits in somewhat in part to what's being shared right now. But I'm working construction. I do fix and flips. I have a tool belt. I'm a guy. I hang around with these kind of guys. I land in California, and what the Uber driver told me was one of the heaviest fogs. He can't remember the last time he's seen such a heavy fog. And on the plane, I'm just so normal, sitting there in my seat, the construction guy going to this retreat. I don't feel like I know anybody. And I also have an authority problem. I don't usually respect authority. That's why I either get kicked out of churches or raise so much cane, I get kicked out. So for those reasons, I don't go to church. And I knew in my mind this could be a possible problem at this retreat because I don't have a fear in speaking to authority usually. On the plane, when the bell went off and went ding, ding, you can now stand up and get your overhead luggage. For whatever reason, tool belt Greg, sitting by the window, started crying. And I felt within me everything. It begins now. You came here looking for something outside of yourself, and you already have it. You want the fire, you have the fire. But you want me to do a work in you? Then give it all to me. Right now, give it all to me. And in that, just letting go, not understanding why I'm crying, I just allowed the tears to come down my face. People walked down the aisles. I couldn't even be anxious to get off the plane because it just got stronger and warmer and more lovely. The words that I'm speaking now don't even come to the edge of our universe to explain it. The hidden joy and the prize that is already there for us to just take like a child and say, yes, I am worthy because he said so. So I go to the retreat. Corrine's the first one in the morning during this meditation. I'm so nervous because everybody's going to be able to sit, probably like yoga people, and I don't know anything about meditation really too much. And as she went through her meditation, I began weeping just like on the plane. And each time, and this is where we're at with what we were talking about earlier, I kept wanting so bad to understand why this is happening, the ego trying to get in and understand. Perhaps so that it could explain to me how I'm not doing it right. But instead of having to understand, just trusting and trusting and trusting that whatever's happening, this weeping is just, it's doing something. I don't know what it's doing, but let it do whatever it's doing. Just total trusting, trusting, trusting. That's what love is trust. Without it, we have no love. And so the next speaker, same thing. The next speaker, same thing. Every single speaker, that happened. And when I got back, I went to a class. I don't know even what day it is today. If I went today or I went yesterday, I don't know. I went to a class, A Course in Miracles class, and this lady after class asked me if, you know, some questions, and we ended up going and having coffee together, and I shared that part of the story with her, and she's a teacher herself, and she said, well, yes, in A Course in Miracles, it says every time an idol falls, there shall be weeping, be crying.
Wow.
And those idols, I believe, for me, you know, were looking to the teachers and saying, can you really give me something? Do you really have something for me? Because, you know, I can do it on my own. I always had. But yet that's where the anointing is. That's where the power is. Coming together in unity and then trusting the teacher. I am so blessed and happy to have Corrine in my life, that she is taking the time to prepare the space to bring together power, which is unity, bringing people together in unity and creating that space. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's my testimony.
Oh, Greg, I'm in tears if you can't tell. That was beautiful. I'm so touched. Oh, my gosh, my nose is literally shut. I'm so touched by your trust, like your description of just the tears and the recognition that it's only the ego that ever wants to understand, and just being in that trust and being in that trust and recognizing that there's no teacher out there. It's all we're all asked to go within to Holy Spirit, to our inner teacher. That there's only one. Thank you. That was just such a beautiful testimony, but also I feel like that ties in perfectly to what we've been sharing, what we've been talking about. I just wanted to add also, Deidre, what you shared was just so eloquent and so perfect, and I wouldn't have said it that clearly. That was what came up for me to convey, just that we're at peace right now. That if we can, we and there's part of our mind that just hasn't accepted that, but if we can even for a moment embrace that idea that we are at peace now, that's what this is all about. The rest of it's just an illusion.
Wow.
My nose is totally shut off. Does anybody have any? Does anyone feel moved to share?
I remember Paul had a question. Paul, are you still there?
That was oh. Homer. Yes.
Thanks. No, I think.
Oh, Paul. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It was. It's kind of gone. But everybody said and just shared was so. I mean, everything. I mean, what everybody has shared is just the course. So, yeah. Thank you, though, for thinking of me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Corinne, it's Homer again. I just want to say thank you so much, Craig and Deidre, also for sharing along with Corinne. When Craig shared, is it Greg or Craig? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Greg, just one G.
Greg. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, because it touched on something for me, and at least this is the way I heard it, when you were talking about, you know, the tears coming and the letting go, the trust. I think you hit on something for me. It says, I don't trust on some level that I deserve it. I don't have the confidence that that voice, which is in all of us, will speak to me, you know. And so your share really touched me on a deep level. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, the word from a brother at the retreat on that was, you're playing small. He just looked me right in the eye and said, you're playing small. Is not serving the world. Quote from A Course in Miracles.
Oh.
You're playing small.
Yeah.
You are worthy.
You are worthy. And it's beautiful, those moments that we realize that, you know, we've been holding a belief that we think that we're not worthy, because the moment we become aware of it is that moment we can choose again. It's that moment we can say, ah, Holy Spirit, there's that thought. Taking this to you.
I was listening.
I remember a quote. Very quickly, I remember a quote. Don't know where it's from exactly, from the Course, but where Jesus says, "Do you think I would spend my time on you if you were unworthy?"
Mm. That's awesome, Homira. Were you going to add more?
Oh yes, I was just going to say, I was listening to something by Lisa Natoli. She was interviewing, the Robert Perry, who's written that new version of the Course. And in their talk, he was talking about, there was something that he had written on, where Bill Thetford was saying, because Helen was getting described, saying that he couldn't really hear the voice. And Jesus was saying that he didn't have enough confidence that, you know, or trust that he would hear the voice. He didn't wait long enough, for example, to hear the voice, because he didn't believe that on some level, you know, he deserved to hear the voice. So it's like, it's all sort of like, just all this talk is coming together and giving me a new way of looking at why perhaps I'm blocking my own light from coming in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. That new addition has just really profoundly affected me. It's been really profoundly affecting my mom. And I actually read from that addition a little bit at the retreat during my talk, because hearing what Jesus says to Helen and Bill, although, you know, it was personal to them, and that explains why it was edited out of the FIP edition, we can all relate. We can all relate to their struggles, because they're ours. So it's just so refreshing to feel like you're getting that direct guidance from Jesus' voice in the new edition, which is really fun. We are worthy. Oh, big sigh. I don't think we're going to read tonight. I'm not feeling it. I hope that's okay. I want to just leave a little bit more space to see if anybody else wants to share. If we do read, we do, but if we don't, we don't.
I want to actually say another cool thing about the teachers of the retreat. They did not get up with prepared stuff. Usually is just waiting on the Holy Spirit. It really was. I just witnessed that so much there.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, they got to get up in front of a bunch of people, and they're just, if that was my manuscript, that'd be called winging it, but that's called trusting. And I just love that so much, and to try to incorporate that into, you know, our lives. Just walking in that trust.
That's beautiful,
that
Greg. Yeah, that's a beautiful parallel of being able to witness that, to see speakers up there just letting Spirit speak through them and trusting. And the what you're saying of, you know, taking that into our own lives is how much, you know, do we get caught up in wanting to control and figure it out and figure out the outcome and plan and defend and make sure it's going to be okay and, you know, do this and that. And we're learning this trust. We're learning that we don't need to do any of that, that in my defenselessness, my safety lies, that, you know, all things are lessons God would have me learn, that we can actually have that same ease, that same trust in our daily life, where we can step out of the role of believing that we have to be our own caretaker, that we have to provide for ourselves, provide for others.
one of the speakers, Francis, is it pronounced Zoo or something like that?
Zoo, yes, Francis Zoo.
When she was speaking, I shared with her later, but I couldn't hear what she was saying. And then this rush would come over me, and I'd start weeping. And then my ego would get even more pissed off. It was like, okay, you're not, to be an anointing like this, you need to at least hear what she's saying. And I was trying harder and harder, even leaning in. I was sitting in the front row to the side to hear what she is saying. It just sounded like blah, blah, blah to me. I could not make it. Every once in a while, it'd be like I'd catch a word, but it would be like, oh, what is that? It'd be like a word like whatever. It could be like tree. It had nothing to do with anything to me. But then she would pause for a while, just pause and stand there. And in the normal society, that would be awkwardness. Mm-hmm. You start entertaining that feeling of awkwardness. And then she'd start speaking, and when she did, that rush would come on me. I'd start weeping, tears coming down my... And it wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't like, you know, anything out of the ordinary thing. But I thought it was so cool that I was not even allowed to understand anything that she was saying. And people would laugh in the room at something she said, and I'd be like, I wonder what that was. But the enjoyment of what I was experiencing, I wasn't willing to trade it to be able to hear what she was saying.
Oh, Greg, that's beautiful. And you're reminding me just, you know, the Course says, words are just symbols. They're symbols removed from direct experience. We've talked about, you know, the stories. It's the words are part of the form, part of the story, and to be out of having to listen to the words, but instead be in tune with the feeling beneath the words, the message, you know, the love that was being conveyed through the words, but just tuning into the love directly. That's
the intent.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really beautiful.
Hey, this is Franny.
Thank you. Hi, Franny.
Hey, everybody. I just want to say what a terrific call this has been. I've been kind of quiet, but just loving what everyone is saying tonight. So I just wanted to thank everyone. And it feels like as each person talked, it directly applies to my life. So I'm going through a few Kleenex over here in Connecticut while everyone is talking. It's really been wonderful. So thank you all.
Oh, thank you, Franny.
That's so awesome.
Thank you so much. We are joined. We are joined. We are healing.
Indeed.
We're healed already. We're accepting this.
Yes. yes.
Oh, how beautiful. My heart is so full. Mm-hmm. It is so full. Anybody else feel moved to share?
I'll share one little thing if it's okay, Karen.
Go for it.
I just was moved by what Greg shared about trust. And it reminded me of the really moving experience that I'm having with my schooling at the moment. I'm doing a counselor's training that's based on A Course in Miracles, but it's called Transpersonal Counseling, but the whole program is based on the fundamentals of A Course in Miracles. And just the beautiful unlearning that is occurring in me as a result of being part of this program, because in year one, we're asked to look at ourselves. So we're doing the work within, and we're doing the course lessons at the same time, but we're in the course of becoming, you know, a quote-unquote therapist. We're all therapists already, but we are being asked to to look at ourselves. And after having gone through sort of the academia training of the world and doing, you know, the whole bachelor's degree and now this experience, I'm moved every day when I'm doing my work at how supportive and loving and compassionate and wonderful the way that this program is set up, because it's so different than the educational training of the world. And I totally understand now why I wasn't led to a master's degree program, because the way this program is taught is that constantly every day the message is being instilled in us that you cannot make a mistake. You know, every experience that you're having right now, every unlearning that you're experiencing is part of the whole, it's part of the collective. And so you can't get it wrong. You know, they actually have a thing in the program where if you need to take a quiz more than once, 2, 3, 4 times, you know, that's okay. If you need to do an exam more than once, that's okay. Your assignments, you cannot mess up, you know, and I've never had this type of educational training, and it's just the most profound, beautiful thing. And this is where we're going, learning that we are perfect already. We are at peace already. This is what we're learning to accept. And so I just felt moved to share that.
And thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Deidre. Well, I'm feeling complete. I'm feeling just like holding the silence. Could we close with a meditation? That's probably mostly going to be silence. Is that okay? Let's do this. All right. Coming to a seated position and allowing your eyes to close. And turning our awareness within again to this place that we all share, where we are one. We are accepting that we are healed. What a blessed, blessed state that is. So let's just hold this space for each other for a few moments together in silence. My heart is beating in the peace of God. Our hearts are filled with love and with gratitude. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our bridge to remembering that we are already healed. Thank you, God, for only ever upholding the truth. And thank you to all of us, to all of you who feel moved to show up to strengthen these ideas in our minds. This holy instant we give to the Holy Spirit. Take taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together. Thank you, everybody, so much for being here.
I love you, guys.
I love you. I love you guys. And like I said, this isn't the only retreat out there. There's other retreats. We have our call. This is like a little mini retreat in the week, so we don't need to go anywhere to experience, you know, anything. We're experiencing it now. I'll just mention that if anybody is considering the San Francisco Course in Miracles Conference in 2018, it's actually like a year from now. It's February 2018. If anybody's considering that, let me know, because MiracleShare is selling the tickets below the base price. So just keep that in mind if that's something that anybody's interested in. I love you all. Have a great week. Thank you so, so, so much for being here and showing up. And I'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night,
you
everybody.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Good night.